CRP model. The detailed capacity planning process is conventionally equated with capacity requirements planning, CRP, which is defined in part in the ASCM Supply Chain Dictionary as the function of establishing, measuring, and adjusting limits or levels of capacity. In this context, the term refers to the process of determining in detail the amount of labor and machine resources required to accomplish the tasks of production. The CRP process validates material requirements planning, MRP, by waiting until MRP plans open and plan production orders before checking against capacity. Capacity in CRP is usually considered to be infinite or capable of expanding to fulfill priority plans because MRP due dates have a high priority and are not very flexible, while capacity is assumed to be able to accommodate due date priorities. The CRP process steps are shown in Exhibit 4-82. As with MRP, CRP is an automated system. But in order for you to understand how it works, we need to consider what is going into the system, what processes are taking place inside it, and what output it is providing to the planner. Exhibit 4-82, CRP process. Step A, determine load on resources over a defined time period. This requires input about the anticipated load from the master production schedule, MPS, and the MRP system, but it also requires knowing what the operation's capacity is and how capacity might be affected by other sources of load and the business's priorities. Step B, using backward scheduling, simulate the scheduling of load at work centers by period, assuming infinite capacity. Forward scheduling and finite capacity can be used, but this is less common. Note that backward scheduling starts from the due date and works backward to plan prior events, while forward scheduling does the opposite. An infinite capacity assumption means that the load for any given period will not be limited by a maximum capacity level, as would be the case if finite capacity planning is used. Step C, create work center load capacity profiles for each period. Load and available resources are compared to identify imbalances. Step D, resolve load capacity imbalances. Step E, prepare the operating plan for execution. If imbalances between load and capacity can be resolved at step D, the elements of a workable plan for execution will be in place. The plan will enable production control to perform its dispatching, bottleneck management, sequencing, and input/output control functions and meet priority objectives. The operating plan may be further refined during the execution phase to account for changes in work orders, material shortages, and worker and machine productivity. If the load capacity imbalance cannot be resolved, the planner will first try to make required capacity available. After analyzing work center load reports and attempting to balance load and capacity, planners still might not be able to resolve the imbalances. In such cases, the MPS must be revised. The revisions will be exploited by the next MRP run and used by CRP to create revised work center load reports for additional evaluation and possible action by the planner. Revising the MPS is a short-term solution. Chronic overloading of production is a sign that the planner will need to request that management increase capacity. Failure to do so will put revenue and customer service goals at risk. Advantages of CRP. For those manufacturing operations that can use capacity requirements planning, this approach offers benefits. Since CRP provides time-phased visibility of load and capacity imbalances for over the entire planning horizon, short, mid, and long term, it can reveal underloads and overloads and allows planners to act before problems become crises. CRP can be used as a simulation tool during the planning process to evaluate proposed changes in planning factors, such as changed lot sizes and routings, before they are put in place. CRP uses more detailed lead time data than material requirements planning, providing a scheduled start date for each operation. CRP helps reduce erratic lead times by providing data the planner can use to level work center loads. Leveling tends to make queue times much more consistent and manageable, which contributes to lead time control. Limitations of CRP. CRP is not meant to determine day-to-day decisions and shop floor actions. These are a function of the scheduling and capacity control checks as part of production activity control. There are other limitations as well. CRP requires manual input to resolve action items. Its application, however, is restricted to the solution of fairly simple scheduling and capacity management problems. CRP requires an extensive amount of accurate input data. Routing, work center, utilization, and efficiency data must be as current and accurate as possible. Note that information on capacity is very difficult to make accurate because, in most environments, there will be daily variation in efficiency and utilization. CRP ultimately provides approximations in scheduling load. The data input into CRP are often detailed, for example, time of day of load, but CRP is still an approximation of load separated into time periods. When the MPS needs to be revised because of capacity imbalances, the MPS and the MRP and CRP processes must be executed again to see if the changes had the desired results. CRP does not handle resource contention and the effects of secondary constraints, as well as finite scheduling techniques do. Traditional CRP systems start with MRP, then check capacity, and then alert MRP if the order is feasible or not. The MRP system then adjusts priorities. To meet their strategic goals, many businesses must be responsive to customer orders without holding excessive levels of inventory. This has shortened the material and capacity planning feedback loop to the point that material and capacity are planned simultaneously. This is accomplished through computer programs that use finite capacity scheduling or loading to revise priorities and level loads operation by operation. Infinite scheduling or loading capacity is a constraint that is managed by revising priorities to level loads operation by operation. Resource contention and secondary constraints are discussed next. Resource contention and CRP. The problem of resource contention occurs when capacity appears to be sufficient at a CRP level, but is in fact not sufficient because of the timing of products passing through the same work center. Resource contention results in delays and can remain undetected in the capacity plan unless finite capacity planning methods are employed. Exhibit 4-83 and Exhibit 4-84 show the issue. Exhibit 4-83 shows the planned capacity, while Exhibit 4-84 shows what happens during execution. As planned, machines X and Y each have 8 hours of available capacity. Parts 1 and 2 each require 8 hours of load. The capacity available, 8 hours for each machine, exactly meets the load requirements for the day 1 planning period. Exhibit 4-83, capacity is planned. Exhibit 4-84, capacity is executed. Exhibit 4-84 shows the actual situation. The parts cannot be worked on by Machine I until they have been completed by Machine X. Machine I is therefore idle for the first half of day 1. The correct sequencing of work means that work on part 2 will not be completed until day 2. This will push the day 2 orders off schedule, necessitating rescheduling or overtime to complete the orders in that period. Secondary constraints in CRP. Let's assume that the primary constraint on an order is its due date. A secondary constraint is an additional factor that will complicate meeting the first constraint. For example, a work center has 5 machines that can produce a certain part, but only one machine is equipped with the required tools set for a specific order. The primary constraint for part A is the requirement of 8 hours of machine time. The secondary constraint is that it has to be a particular machine. The actual capacity of the work center is only 1/5 of the assumed capacity, not 5 machines multiplied by 8 hours or 40 hours, but 1 machine multiplied by 8 hours or 8 hours of capacity. The same thing can happen with personnel. Any part requiring operators with specialized training is limited in capacity to the hours these individuals are available. A partial solution is to produce additional load reports showing capacity requirements for the secondary constraint. This approach can increase the planner's manual workload considerably.